Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. Into the off season a little earlier than we anticipated or hoped. And because of that, one of the annual rites of the early off season is Steelers team president Art Rooney II making himself available to various media outlets. Mikey, you and I each got a little shot at Art the last 36 hours or whatever it is. He said some, I won't say he said anything dramatic, at least not to me. Maybe some people out there who believe that, you know, Mike Tomlin and or Todd Haley deserve to be fired after the 2012 season would consider his endorsements of them to be a dramatic statement, but I didn't. And, the word he used over and over in my session was frustrating in terms of describing the season, but he also said, I won't say gave a vote of confidence to, but he certainly supported the jobs that both Tomlin and Haley did this season.
Yeah, the assessment of Haley was that it was working very well until Ben got hurt, or at least
yes.
Maybe not as well as they wanted in terms of scoring points, but they were starting to get it, and it was coming together, and you could see it, and then, boom, the quarterback gets hurt, and everything grinds to a halt, and then when the quarterback came back, they were never able to regenerate it to where it had been. But I found his thoughts on Mike Tomlin very interesting. Clearly, anytime a guy in Art Rooney's position talks about the head coach, you're going to pay attention, and I'm certainly not down on Mike Tomlin, but it's been a real interesting arc that he's had here. Two Super Bowls and 4 years where you didn't win a playoff game. Two of those years you didn't even make it. So how do you want to look at it? Do you look at it as a third of the time this guy's here, they go to the Super Bowl, or two-thirds of the time they don't win a playoff game? One is fantastic, the other's unacceptable. And Art's line was, I have great faith that he will get us there again.
And, well, let me say this. To answer your question, and I'm answering it myself, if the guy who doesn't make it to the doesn't win a playoff game two-thirds of the time is in the Super Bowl the other third of the time, then I'm willing to live with that, because I'd rather be a champion slash great relatively consistently, as opposed to kind of hanging around in the top four in your conference but never getting there,
never going all
every
the way.
Year.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And I think it also sheds some light indirectly on how tough it is to win playoff games in this league.
Well, especially, you know, lately. Remember when home field advantage used to mean something?
Yeah, I do.
It does not anymore. And, I think that usually this is the round, the divisional round that's coming up, is when home field advantage.
Oh, this used to be almost automatic.
A lock, yes.
The bye team at home would win.
Yes.
And it's not that anymore.
No. Because, you know, the whole concept of a team getting hot and playing well down the stretch, you know, just take the Packers in 2010, the Steelers in 2005, both of those teams were in the playoffs virtually for themselves before Christmas, because they had to win every week just to get in. And then, you know, as we've seen,
can be an advantage
or certainly more of an advantage than being on the road is a disadvantage. Do you agree with his assessment of the offense?
I do. The more I think about this, and I keep going back to the O-line thing, maybe I've been hanging around our colleagues Tunch Yolkin and Craig Wolfley too long, but you look at some of these teams, Lab, that are still playing and how they've used basically the same offensive line the entire time. Now, there are exceptions. Seattle's had to use a bunch of combinations. Baltimore just got to the line they actually liked last week. But a lot of these teams have continuity up front, and the Steelers didn't have that. And when they did have it briefly at midseason, they were getting 100-yard games out of Jonathan Dwyer.
Yeah.
And they were winning football games consecutively.
Against decent teams, you know, at Cincinnati, yeah, at New York.
And you wind up starting two rookies at the end of the year that have hardly played all season, and the Cincinnati Bengals have their way with you. That's, to a certain extent, that's unavoidable. Now, what I'm having a hard time understanding, and I don't mean like I'm dismayed. I mean I don't get it, is why some teams have injuries and some don't.
Or why. Or
across an entire unit that way.
Or why the Steelers have had injuries for three straight years at that one unit. That's even, to me, more of something that needs to be investigated here.
Yeah, I mean, can they influence that at all? Is it just luck?
I don't know. I'm not –
You know, if you're standing around and you get rolled up on, is there no way to avoid that? Is there a way to prevent injury? Is there something in the water in Minneapolis that allows the Vikings guys to stay healthy? Is it playing indoors half the time? I don't know.
Well, and, you know, you referenced Tunch Ilkin and Craig Wolfley. One of the things I've heard Tunch say lately is, you know, you mentioned the rolling up on guys. See, he blames that not on the person who gets injured, but on the person who is unable to stay on his own feet, who gets thrown down to the ground onto a teammate. So his, and I'm paraphrasing, his solution, for lack of a better word, is the guys getting thrown around need to
not get thrown around.
Not to get thrown around. And the way that is you become a little bit more athletic, lighter, and you are able to move your feet and do those kinds of things to avoid becoming, you know, a projectile who just, you know, can't stay upright. So, you know, that's one of the things that I truly believe, and I will just use him as an example. The Steelers list Willie Colon at 315. My contention is if he actually played at 315, he might be in the Pro Bowl this year. So
that might be a factor, too.
I think, back
to the initial point, I believe Marcus Gilbert was involved with a couple of injuries.
Yeah, and when I say that about Colon, I'm not saying that he's necessarily fat and out of shape, but the mindset of these guys is they have to be bigger. They have to be, you know, I don't know, specimens or freaks of nature, whatever it is, that the bulk and the strength is really the most important thing. And kind of, I don't know, maybe it's more the athletic ability and technique and leverage than you need to be, you know, just a maniac in the weight room.
I think one of the outside linebackers might want to consider that theory too.
Yeah. The guy from Michigan.
That would be the one, yeah.
Yeah. Because I was going to say the other one can't get much smaller.
But no, I mean, that's the other mystery is where did that production go?
Yeah.
And why? And why have there been some nagging injuries and things to overcome along those lines? But, yeah, the more I get removed from this season looking at the Steelers, it didn't work this year, but I don't see that means it can't. And I don't see the need to change that many of the pieces. It's just you got to get more out of what you have here.
And that's a good thing, too, because it's not possible to change a lot of pieces. Certainly not with this team in terms of the, you know, annual aim to try and compete every year. The Steelers aren't going to be big players in free agency. They never are. And you only have 7 draft picks. And your 6th-round pick is, you know, you're buying a lottery ticket. Maybe you hit, probably you don't. So, you know, your ability to affect great change on a roster over one NFL offseason is not really realistic if you think you're going to contend for a championship every year. So, I happen to agree.
Unless you hit that lottery in the 3rd round at quarterback.
Or the 6th round at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I was talking more Seattle this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty average club a year ago.
Yeah, and you know, they also signed the guy. They paid some big money in free agency for a guy who never got on the field either.
Yep.
Matt Flynn. But
they made a dramatic, this is our guy pick in the 1st round, and we don't care what anybody else thinks about him. We see him as a fit.
Yes.
We have him rated here. And go ahead and laugh if we're going to take some guy out of West Virginia you never heard of to be a pass rush specialist. His name Bruce Irvin.
Yeah.
And then we'll get our quarterback in the 3rd round, and he'll beat out the guy we spent all that money on.
But they had the beast in the backfield.
Yes, they did.
They have that offensive line that is a good one. They had those 2 corners who became the best in the NFL. So, yeah, they added pieces as well. Now, their pieces in terms of the positions they played would be because one was a quarterback. Hey, it's more significant. But, again, in terms of numbers of players that they have turned over, they just hit it big with their few, times rolling the dice. Okay, speaking of Seattle, let's move on to the last weekend's playoff games. We'll just touch those real quick. Anything surprise you in any of those games?
I actually thought the Colts would play a little better than they did. I didn't think they caught the ball particularly well. They also had a problem. They had two problems. They couldn't block Paul Kruger, and they couldn't cover Anquan Boldin. But I think they could have hung in there a little longer and made that a little close if they just caught the ball on third down a couple of times. Maybe that was the first time in the playoffs thing. I don't know. Baltimore did just enough to win. I'm not going to discredit a victory, but certainly I didn't come out of that game with a changed opinion of the Ravens.
Yeah, what I learned over the wild card weekend was, first of all, Marvin Lewis has to quit coaching not to lose because, you have to in order to succeed in the playoffs.
You should go for more 60-yard field goals. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is throw the ball to A.J. Green before the third quarter.
Well, yeah.
Throw the ball down. Let your players make plays.
That's Bob Labriola activating or advocating throw it all over the yard.
No, I didn't say. Hey, they were running the ball. The law firm was running the ball. Okay, you compliment that. Let your stars be stars. Let your great players give them an opportunity to do something great. I mean, if
maybe you lost faith in the quarterback.
So you lose 13-10. I mean, that to me is a sure way down the tubes. I'm gonna take some chances. Your defense was playing pretty good. You were running the ball okay. He's your quarterback. You got to ride with him a little bit and see what he can do. Take the training wheels off and try and score some points. Because, again, that's why I don't think the Texans have any chance to advance far. The Texans have no chance. The Ravens don't.
Yeah. I don't know why the Texans aren't that team anymore. They took some hits on defense with injuries. But, man, early in the season, they were lighting it up. I don't know why that stopped about a month ago. I don't know why.
Well, my advice to Gary Kubiak would be the same advice I just gave to Marvin Lewis. Throw the ball to Andre Johnson some. I mean, if you're going to go down, at least, go down utilizing your weapons.
You think that's better than the tight end running toward the sideline? 4 yards deep.
On third and six, yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. Because you have a running game with Arian Foster that teams have to respect.
Good line. Mobile quarterback.
Go for it a little bit. Playing not to lose. I mean, that was, to me, was the earmark of the early Bill Cowher years. And it always ends badly. It just does. And until he kind of – when would Bill Cowher have ever – in those championship games at home he lost, would he have ever run that double reverse pass or allowed it to happen that they ran in the Super Bowl? No. I mean, Ben came out throwing in the AFC championship game in Denver that year. That would have never happened either. You got him.
Yeah, even in 95 when Neil had some moments, it was at least 50-50 run and seemed like they only threw it when they had to.
Yeah, and I mean, they got some incredible breaks. The Willie Williams tackle of Lamont, whatever his name was, on that third and one where nobody knew where they were supposed to be. And then Neil hitting that long pass to Ernie Mills down to the 1 or 2 yard line. I mean, but I don't know. It just seems to me the way the sport is, especially the way it's officiated, and you have Andre Johnson or A.J. Green, I'm throwing it down the field to them a bunch of times, especially if I can protect it for my quarterback. How many pass interference penalties do you think you get? One or two, maybe?
At least, yeah. It's a good point.
What do you like this week? And
well, I think in the AFC, I think those are pretty one-sided matchups. Looks obvious. I would like Denver. I would think Denver wins big, and I would think New England wins big.
You're picking quarterbacks? Or is it more than that?
More than that, especially with Denver.
Yeah, they have a good defense.
I think New England, too. You know, their running game is underrated, and their ability to make plays defensively, I think, is underrated. It might not be pretty statistically, but their defense finds ways to influence the outcome of games, which is almost as good as winning that yardage title.
Sometimes it's better.
The NFC games are very interesting to me. Green Bay, San Francisco is kind of the marquee matchup, and has Harbaugh meddled with that too much? Are they is that great Niners team going to be denied because of quarterback and kicker? Is Aaron Rodgers still a guy that can lift that Packer team above everybody else? I think yeah, but I'm not sure. And then the other game, how good are the Falcons, Bob, and how good is Seattle? Can Seattle go down there and beat Matty Ice in Matty Ice's house?
See, I think they can, but what concerns me for Seattle is the cumulative toll of the travel. You know, you look at each trip in a context of itself, and you say, well, you know, they can go there and do that. Okay. But now you have to do it again. And then if they win, they have to do it again. And that's, you know, being in Seattle, I think, is a geographic disadvantage.
Unless you need a coffee.
Well, yeah.
You want to hear a little Pearl Jam?
Yes, but I meant in terms of competing for a Lombardi trophy.
Yes.
Which involves neither of those. I know. But yeah, I like the Seahawks team. I really do.
I thought, you know, the first quarter they clearly were not themselves against the Redskins.
But they weathered the storm.
Yeah, but once they figured out, okay, it's the playoffs, it's still football, let's calm down and just do what we do. They played very well the last three quarters.
Yes.
Other than the fumble.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the other thing that struck me in these games is it's seemingly harder than it needs to be to score inside the red zone.
I think that teams tighten up because they're afraid of not getting the field goal. And that, to me, really, field goal is a slow death. That is a slow, sure death because there is no – you cannot play defense the way you used to be able to play defense to shut somebody down and just, you know, keep them off the scoreboard.
I didn't look at any percentages, but it looked to me like it was agonizingly tough to get touchdowns in the red zone for most of these teams.
Well, I think most of those teams weren't very good at it either. You know, the Colts, the Bengals, the Texans lately. I mean, all of them, the Ravens, all of these teams, to me, over the course of the season, have not been those special offenses that I think you need to win a championship and that I think that the Steelers need to be able to develop here because they have, meaning the Steelers, have the quarterback. A lot of these teams don't. But when you have that...
what else do you think they have?
The Steelers?
Yeah. Or let's cut to the chase. What do they don't have?
What they don't have is a running back.
Bingo.
Well, but I don't know. Pick one on the sixth round from Florida Atlantic, for God's sake. I don't care. Pick one on the fourth round from Texas Tech. I saw that happen in 94 once, too. That, to me, is not that hard if you get those five pigs up front doing what they need to do.
There's a couple of guys I've become particularly enamored with this offseason. One more number 42 for Alabama.
Let me just ask you this, though. In college, he's just – but – if he takes you to one Super Bowl, maybe in his career only lasts 2 years, so what? But he seems a little of a tall target to me to be a long-term NFL running back. Like, I think he might be a load for a lot of teams over the short term. But
that's good enough for me
Well, yeah.
And the other guy wore number 24 at Michigan State.
Well, I was going to say, can I have number 4 from Alabama, too?
He's not eligible yet.
Oh, well.
Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, big backs that are nimble for big guys and can catch the ball out of the backfield.
If that is
can they block? I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, and let me say this. If those two guys are in fact what you just said, and I my watching of college football is superficial enough that I can't answer that. I really enjoyed Lacey's performance in that BCS National Championship game, I'm here to say. And I saw your guy, number 24, run over a lot of people in that junior league that they were in. The Big Ten? Sorry, couldn't resist. But if they in fact do have the nimble feet, because that's what you have to have.
Yeah.
If you're just big and powerful in college, that will get you killed in the NFL. If you have the nimble feet, I'm in. And if both of them do, I would be willing to pick whichever one was available at 17.
I think you could maybe wait till the second round to get the second guy I mentioned.
Okay. I mean,
but I don't think he's as good as the first guy I mentioned. But he's pretty good.
Well, but yes, I agree that they need that. But to me, you got to get that line straightened out. And let me say this. If the Pittsburgh Steelers can go through 15 or 16 games next year with, from left to right, Adams, Cologne, Pouncey,
DeCastro,
and Gilbert, Dwyer might be good enough. I'm not saying that I would count on that, you know, or depend on that.
Drop my microphone.
That's okay.
You said that
at least you know. But I'm saying is I think those guys are that important.
You kept Cologne in there, I noticed.
What's the option?
Someone you have a little more faith might actually finish a season than he starts?
Well, I mean, you know, like they had a conversation with him lately about, you know what, Willie, your future is at guard. Maybe you need to have one. He accepted that and did it enthusiastically.
I love the guy.
Me too.
No, wait. This is getting problematic,
But maybe the conversation this offseason is, Willie, you got to be 315. You got to be 315.
Coach, it says it right there on the media guide.
Yeah, but it doesn't say right here on this little digital display we have here on this.
That's called a scale.
Okay, that'll do it for this edition of
Talking
Steelers
Football.
Doesn't
say that on my scale either, but it's after the holiday season, it ain't far away.
For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.